So today on Two Dads, One Puck, we welcome a guest that's right in our wheelhouse. He's a father of two with over 10 years of pro hockey experience, including seven in the National Hockey League, which is a pretty big deal for this podcast because we don't get many of those guys. But probably one of the nicest guys you'll meet until he's got to pound the wheels off you. Jake Dowell, welcome to the pod, buddy.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah, pleasure to have you join us here today. And you surviving this the crazy time we're in and all that good stuff. And
We're surviving. I don't know, you know, for how much longer, but for right now, we're doing all right. We're doing the virtual kindergarten and, you know, just trying to do everything socially distanced, but trying to do the right stuff. But it's tough now, especially now that it got cold quickly.
Yeah, it's always fun when you get to add virtual teacher's assistant to your resume.
Yeah, exactly. Didn't sign up for it, but we'll roll with it.
I can't imagine the kindergarten side with Kenzie being in second grade. It's not too bad. I can give her a computer and just go join your Zoom class and deal with on her own. But with our four-year-old, I don't know if I could handle that.
Yeah, we've been lucky. We've had in-person school, which I don't know how we would have done it otherwise, because last spring was a disaster at our house. Total disaster.
That's pretty much, I think, across the board, everybody's experience with it.
Yeah, right on. So, but hey, you and Chris actually have kind of a connection here. You must have been quite the confidence builder for you. I don't know, maybe that was a key to your success, scoring all those goals on him growing up.
Yeah, we had some good teams we played on too, where we won some tournaments too. So yeah, Chris and I played youth hockey together and for the Eau Claire Mustangs, and you know, Chris the goalie, and I was forward, I guess.
I gotta know, is he like one of those weird goalies that they all seem to be, have their quirks? And
yeah, I don't think, like, to this day, I don't know that I really have met a goalie that doesn't have their quirks. But you know, I don't know, how old were we, 12, 13,
somewhere in there?
Everybody's got their quirks at that point.
Everybody's got quirks. Exactly.
I don't think if I didn't have them, I'd have to turn in my goalie card.
That's true. That's true. They wouldn't get out there.
Part of it.
Well, hey, you know, Jake, so you mentioned, you know, you, for the listeners out there, you know, we played together growing up, so we got some of the same coaching and some of the same experiences. But, you know, something that maybe, you know, was different that impacted, and what we like to talk about in the show, is just some of the things your parents did that you felt impacted your playing career. Because obviously you were able to take it to the next level, and I'm hanging out in a basement running a podcast, but we're still having a good time. So, you know, what were some of those things that you remember their parents did growing up that you felt really maybe helped you push to the next level?
Yeah, I think I had a good combination between my mom and my dad, of my dad being a little bit of the tough love, my mom, you know, coming from the other angle, being a little more nurturing. But at the end of the day, they taught real family values, instilling confidence, I would say, was the first one. And also, you know, a fine balance of kind of pushing me when I needed to push, and then kind of let me learn a lesson if I need to learn a lesson, you know, there, and that is a fine line as a parent. You know, I think about that too, when to be more hands-on, when to be hands-off, let them fall here and learn from it. But I think my parents having a pulse on when to do what taught me to handle some defeat. They'll learn how to take it, get up and move on and get back at it. So I think those are some of the most important values that they instilled.
Yeah, man, that is like one of the toughest things, is to watch your kid. You know they're in the process of failing to some extent, but you just, there are those times where you got to let it happen. And
yeah,
even with our kids that are 7 and 4, like even the 4-year-old, you're like, man, this is going to hurt, but you're going to learn from it.
yep. You'll come out better. It's tough to see that look on their face though, and not really try to get in there and help.
Yeah, absolutely. If you could pick one thing that your parents did, is there just one thing you thought, man, if they never did that, I would never have been where I'm at.
I would say in general, the time that they just sacrificed for hockey. If it was, they never said no is the thing that they did, was they never said, we can't go here for a tournament. We can't join this team in the summer. It was, if it was available and I made the team, then they were there and they were supporting. And I think, you know, that's a big deal monetarily. It's always a burden on families. The hotels rack up, but you know, they gave up a lot of their social life too for an extended period of time where my brother and I were playing youth hockey and but then your hockey family becomes your social life too. So they gain that as well. But yeah, I would say the one thing would just be that they encouraged me to play as much as I wanted.
Awesome. Yeah, so true. Your hockey family is your de facto family when your kids start getting into it. We've got some tournaments coming up right now, buddy. Like a couple of weeks, we'll be killing it at the hotel bar if they actually are open and let us in.
Yeah.
Yep.
Hanging on the lobby with their masks on.
Yeah, that too. Sipping beer.
So that, you know, playing in all those different, the summer teams. And I remember one camp, doing one of the Waha camps with Pavelski and you and all the, you know, things that we probably shouldn't talk about, but those different things. And then having your parents, you know, there with you traveling, growing, what was the transition like when you went to the development program and moving away? Was it tough not having them close by for most games and day to day, or you feel like you were able to, given how much love and support they had, that you were able to transition pretty well into that?
Yeah, I would say I did all right with it, but I loved Eau Claire. I loved all my friends in Eau Claire, loved high school, and it was really hard to leave, you know, the junior and senior year. You know, my parents, it was tough. You know, I'm in Michigan one time zone over. Feels like an eternity when you're that age. And granted, I'm on like using calling cards for long distance from there. You know, it's no cell phones and stuff then. So it just felt like an eternity away. So at the start, it was difficult. I had an awesome family that I lived with there. And so I was fortunate that way. And an awesome team. So immediately the one thing that in hockey, wherever you go, you pick up and go to another team, you immediately have 20 some new friends. Everybody's been in the same boat before. They've been to a different team. They know how it feels. So everybody from that standpoint was in the same boat and we were all lonely. And so, you know, you get close quickly. But I would also say doing that at 16 made, you know, I had no homesick worries when I was going into my freshman year of college. So at least when it really counted in college, when I got there, I wasn't, you know, wanting to get back home and all that. So it definitely prepared me for college.
That's I like talking about that family aspect when you join that team. That's something that was talked to other parents that are new to hockey, because there's a lot of them in our organization, and just like, You form a bond. It's a small community at the end of the day. There's only so many people out there that are willing and crazy enough to run around on eighth inch of steel. And then a very small subset of us that are ready to let people rip pucks at their heads. but it's definitely a cool thing. And it's neat to bring that up, that you had that there and that support. Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah. Man. Well, I mean, you think about it. You and I met through hockey, and now we're, you know, however many years later, and connect through, you know, we're talking hockey, you know, so it's an adapted family right from the beginning. And then, you know, the whole hockey community it's a small world, but it's one of the coolest communities around for sure.
Yeah. I mean, you look at, you know, just going through, looking at all the places you played, you know, from NHL to the AHL, college, you mentioned, even going over to Europe here for a stint. Is there ever a time or anything that, you know, when you're making those transitions, what's the hardest part, or what's a What's a piece of advice you can give to players that have to make those types of transitions, whether it's, you know, moving up in levels or just moving to a new town and playing for as part of a new community organization?
Yeah, I think if you're moving up, you're pumped to move anywhere. You know, there's no question about that, but it's hard. I never got traded, but I did have a number of years on 1 year deals and then just picking up and going. So the most difficult time for my wife and I was we just never let ourselves get settled, you know, more than a couple of places that we stayed. You know, we always looked like we've been in our house in the last year or so. We've been here for 4 years and just starting to put stuff permanently on walls and stuff, because we always were either moving in or moving out. So we never really made it our home. And I think that was the hardest part, really, really not knowing. And I think as far as advice for someone going through that, it's just part of it. And you just got to get that through your head that it's still a business and you're going to pick up and move. And sometimes you pick up and move from your own decision. Maybe you're in a spot where, you know, you get to pick where you want to go. And that's nice too.
So this is an interesting thing that I've always just wondered, you know, it's a job, right? Like playing hockey, it's a job. Now you've switched to a daily job, like the rest of us over here. What's it like? What's the difference in your opinion of being a dad playing pro hockey for a job versus, you know, your current gig? Is there a big difference, or is at the end of the day you come home and your kid's there and it's just a normal thing, or is there a
lot? I'll always be really proud that my kids did get to see me play. I doubt that they'll remember, maybe my daughter a little bit in the last year, but the difference is that my family doesn't come and watch me at work, and thank God they don't come and watch me at work now. But that used to be, I was so excited when my family was coming to watch games. It was really cool. I knew my time was coming to be done. So that was the part that I wish I had more years that we'd have more pictures together, and they'd come out on the ice after the games. And that was, I looked forward to that just as much as the game.
Yeah. It's not, it's almost the same feeling, not quite, but in the beer league. And in fact,
when the kids get to stay up late and come watch us.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they're going to remember it, but it's not going to be for the hockey.
It's for running to the locker room and picking beers up for us out of the cooler.
No doubt.
So the other kind of area I just wanted to dive into, and because I know it's in a big portion of your life and you're a big proponent of it. I know your dad, you mentioned, gave a lot to you, that with tough love, but, you know, helped push you along the way. And unfortunately he was taken from you way too early. But, you know, how did that push your career forward? Maybe something different than what's in a lot of the material out there. And how does that help you, you know, be a better dad? Some of us, you know, I take for granted that I can call my dad up or whatever on a basis. And, you know, no, that's not something you're able to do.
Yeah. I would say, right, a couple parts. The part about what the hockey side of it, I think my dad, I always wanted to play really, really well in front of him. He made me want, you know, that gratification for afterwards, him, you know, to do well in front of him. He's my dad. You know, everybody has that. But, and he did know when to push some buttons if he thought I was lazy, and I had a tendency to be a little bit lazy. But I'll forever have that hockey bond with him. And I always knew, up until the end of his life, he still had access to every single one of my games, and he always watched. And so it was fun for me to know that that was what he was waiting for, and that got him through his day too, was, you know, watching hockey. He'd watch the NHL Network and keep up with all the guys, any names that he still knew. And then, you know, at night he'd watch the game. So that was really fun for me, from that aspect. And now I realize, you know, my dad was a small business owner and you know, started his own business, worked from the ground up. Now I wish he was here because I'd like a little advice. You know, I'd like to bounce some stuff off him. I'd like something completely unrelated from sports, which, you know, yeah, it's tough not having him to ask those questions.
Yeah, that's super insightful. And, you know, it's just an unfortunate thing. Are you still doing a bunch of work trying to help raise funds and stuff for Huntington's Church?
Yeah, unfortunately, things, you know, came to a little bit of a halt. Usually there's you know, like 5K walks and a couple different events throughout the year, which they still did them, but virtually, and it's just, it's a little bit tougher. So hopefully in the next year, we'll be able to get some of those bigger events going. And I spoke at one last November down in Chicago, and it actually ended up being at the same venue that my wife and I got married. So it was really cool to be back there for that cause in a place that was really special to us.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Not very many people get to do that, I would imagine, a place where you and your wife got married. So and so cool that you're able to do this stuff and put the efforts you are into a great cause like that. And that's obviously very close to your heart. What do you try to do with your kids, I guess, in just the day-to-day? Like for me, when I hear people like yourself talk about, you know, what you've gone through and what you continue to try to do, it makes me want to be a better person, right? So, you know, I certainly admire you for that. What's one thing you find yourself doing with your kids that you think maybe that had something to do with it?
You know, tough question, man.
Thank you.
I really just try to instill some of the values and the qualities that I know that I watched and followed him, you know, whether that's even just confidence or just the way to handle a certain situation, or maybe even a situation like something that, like, the guy hated putting the Christmas lights up outside. I also hate it because it sucked. And it was such a project that now I find myself saying, okay, be the good example, get out there, do it. You know, I admittedly have done like a half-hearted job out there right now. I still got some cleanup job, but like that kind of stuff that, you know, maybe I saw is something that the kids really should see, you know, it not be a problem.
Yeah.
You know, and he didn't, I don't mean to rag on him and say like he, you know, but he hated it. So then we hated it.
Yeah. Oh yeah. In my mind, there's nothing worse father and son could do together than hang up Christmas lights. Cause it never,
oh, no, no one wants to do that.
Yeah. Well, yep, man. I just did that right before it snowed and I was so glad to have it done. And now I'm looking at what can I do to those projector things or a couple things out in the yard and call it good, you know, rather than I'm out there with the roof rake and a hook tied to the end to put lights up in the tree.
If you're not on a ladder,
right. On a ladder.
Count.
Oh, that's great. And we were talking a little bit before about that you're just about to get your kids involved in hockey and how things are growing and you're seeing over in Madison, hearing about people and their kids are playing the girls' stuff. Have your kids both taken interest on their own in hockey, or is that something you kind of nudged along?
I would say I have not put a full nudge at them. I've really not pushed it early, almost because I don't want to have to deal with it when they're really little and they, you know, get out there and we're crying and then we have to stop. It took us longer to get dressed than to be out there. But last year, my mom brought down, we used to have a hockey net. We lived in a cul-de-sac and she had it, you know, completely redone, repainted. And so it looks brand new now. So we have that in the driveway. So it's street hockey all the time right now, but we got some work to do to get on the skates. So that's supposed to be this winter.
That was a tough thing I remember with Kenzie. Took her to learn to skate. The program up in Sun Prairie is really good. And the first, she's, you know, bawling on the ice. There's a tough love there. They don't pick her up. They're like, you got to try. And, but then I put her in hockey skates and all the coaches were in figure skates. They're using their toe pick to get up. And she'd try to stick her toe down and just boom, face plant down. But, you know,
a few years. Tough one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got to learn from it.
That learn to skate thing, man, that's, they hook you into that figure skating stuff real, real quick there. I figured that they pulled the sparkly outfits out in front of my daughter and she's like, oh, dad. I'm like, well, we could try putting, you know, a stick in your hands first and see how you like that.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's what we're building up the love for the game just through street hockey right now.
Yeah. That's perfect.
And we are fortunate, you know, we do have some friends that are still playing. Joe Pavelski is still playing. He lives in Madison in the summer. And so the kids have been around with him and, so they still wanted to watch those games and see them and they hear his name and make that connection. So that's still really fun too.
Yeah. Good guy to root for this year. He was a good guy to root for this year. He made it pretty easy.
Yeah. No kidding.
Yeah. It's a cool thing. And, I mean, obviously we're sitting here, probably people aren't going to see it, but we got the shooting tarp back here, set up the stuff for the kids and, you know, try to give them all those opportunities to like it. And so far they stick to it. And, the girls, when they get to play with other girls, it's amazing to watch them like stick to the game a lot more than necessarily when they're mixed in with the boys, but it's a pretty cool, there's a totally different feeling, being a dad and watching your kid out there. And, now I know why my parents sat in all those cold rinks and schlucked us to all the tournaments and everything. So
it's gratifying for sure. Yeah.
So I have a question for you. When you were playing and your kids started coming to the game, did that change the way you approached the game or the way you thought about the game? Because obviously when you're a dad, you get a whole different set of responsibilities that are separate from your job on the ice.
Yeah, no, I would say I approached. No, I think do you mean as far as how I played or my day to day?
I guess both.
Yeah, it definitely didn't change how I played because I had to play a certain way to keep playing, bottom line. And I knew my daughter was still, you know, like 5 months old and wasn't going to remember if I got beat up or something. But as far as my day-to-day, that was tough. That was challenging. I was looking forward to, you know, my slotted nap time on game day or, you know, I never thought I would say I'd love to go into Peoria, Illinois, just so that I could be in a hotel and get quiet, get a full night's sleep. But on the other hand, on a day that we don't have practice or we have practice, no game, we're not traveling anywhere, you know, I'm done by noon. And so I could be home and hang with Ellie and give Carly a break. And so from that aspect, pretty fortunate. And then we always were close enough to her parents in Chicago that they could help if I was on a long trip or something. But I think it was fun to answer your question. It was fun to be able to on those other days, spend the extra time for sure.
Yeah, definitely. I'm sure your wife appreciated it greatly too.
Another curious thing, diving way back into your pro days, and you know, it's, you hear a lot of different stuff about the room and the camaraderie. Were there any, when you found out that your wife was expecting, were there any guys that were over the top to like be the mentor dad and share what they learned experience wise with you, or maybe give you some advice that probably wasn't so good? I mean, I had some of those in my job. I'm assuming it's similar thing.
Was it just more like, well, good luck, man?
Yeah. No, I think at that time, you know, I was on a pretty young team that year that Carly got pregnant. It was right at the start of the year. So we, Yeah, there was only one or two guys that even had kids on the team. So it's funny how that changes too. Sometimes you're on teams with a bunch of older guys with kids, and then I've been on other teams where it's just like, and it was in the AHL at that time too. I was in Hamilton. So naturally when in the minors, it's younger guys and less with families. So no one going that way. But I did sorry, dog's walking in here. I did have one of my best friends from when I played here at Wisconsin. He's still one of my best friends. Davis Jurisky was on the team. And he won a cup in Los Angeles, and he's from Hudson. So, and he was on our team, and that was pretty fun to be able to tell him, being, you don't get to play very often with some of your other best friends, your college best friends and stuff.
It's a small world. Yeah. You don't get as much say when you get further down the line, but that's pretty cool that you get to play around with those guys.
Yeah. It was probably one of the years I cherish the most, and usually don't say that about the minors.
Where was the best place that you ever played? Do you have a favorite spot?
Best place, I mean, Chicago that I played for, hands down, loved it. Everything about the organization is first class. Absolutely loved Dallas. And that, you know, another one, that was probably the only year I ever played in a climate like that. So that's awful nice to get a break from winter. I would say favorite place to play, everybody says Montreal. I thought Montreal's good. Vancouver's unbelievable. And can't beat Madison Square Garden. Madison Square Garden's pretty cool.
Yeah, those are some awesome. I've been to Vancouver. I've been to Montreal. Haven't been to MSG yet, but one day.
Yeah. Vancouver is just, it's just such passionate fans. They're awesome.
Yeah, for sure.
Are they over the top than the Chicago fans at home, or on par?
They're on par. I think Chicago and Vancouver over, you know, I don't know how much they've played and had rivalries since like in the last 5 years, but from the 2008 to 15, there was so many big playoff series between the two that, I don't think both franchises didn't love each other.
I know we were able to get down to a few Blackhawks games over the past years while we've been living down in this area, and man, that is an experience. If people are listening and they've never been to a Blackhawks game, spend whatever money you can, get up in that, even in the upper
level. Yeah, that's what I have a hard time. I had a hard time answering it because I didn't want to be such a, you know, Blackhawks everything, but it's also probably my favorite arena to play in too. You know, It's there's loud, and then there's, you know, just piercing loud, especially during that national anthem.
Yeah. The energy is just through the roof. I mean, Energy in Minnesota is pretty good too, but I think Chicago, definitely people are amped up more than there. Those are my limited experiences.
Both for games, and I think it was a Wild Blackhawks game actually, and both teams were not great at the time, and even then it was still just like the fans are unreal. Like, it's just crazy.
Yeah they're passionate. They've grown that love for that team in that city, that to a level that is, you know, these guys are, some of those guys are just superstars in that area.
Yeah, it's so cool. And it's awesome that it's close to us, so we can reap those benefits once in a while.
Yeah,
they're supposed to they usually invite our mic group down to skate between periods.
And, oh, really?
This year, obviously, I don't think anything's going to happen with everything going on. But I look back, I remember, did you ever do at the North Stars game as a kid? Because I remember.
Yeah. What was the name of the arena, though?
The Met Center?
The Met Center. Yeah. I did one time. we were probably out there at the same time.
Probably. I mean, fuck Norm Green.
Yeah. Yes. How about in your pro career, is there ever, like, when those kids would show up and all that, like, was that a big deal to you? Was it fun for you to see the kids out there? Or was it just kind of like the thing that happened between periods? And
In the you see them a little bit more, they get close to you. In the American League, they'd be waiting right by the ice and you come by and give them knuckles and stuff. And that's fun, 'cause they're so pumped up to get out there, and you feel the same energy that you did as a kid, and it's cool. But, NHL, they're there, but then you're back in the locker room and got to get regrouped.
Yeah. I was there.
Not to cut you off, but I would say there's definitely arenas where, you know, people stay in there and watch these kids, and then they, you know, they cheer pretty loud when the kids score. So it's still fun, but you still hear that stuff out there. You can still hear it in the locker room, and you know, the kids are fired up out there.
Yeah. That's awesome. Was there a favorite event that, I mean, whether you're in the minors or in the NHL, like you guys are always doing some type of community service event, or a team comes to skate, you know, or season ticket holder skates. Was there a favorite event that you always look forward to with the fans every year?
It wasn't in Chicago. Brent Seabrook does a bowling, there's a monster bowling alley in downtown, and you wouldn't believe the amount of people that just pay to come and watch, let alone the groups that come and everybody's paired up. I only did it one time, but that was as cool of an experience. I know he does that annually. So that's a pretty cool event. Otherwise, you know, different when you bounce around, different organizations have different things that they do. So not necessarily something I look forward to, but the one with Brent was probably the best.
Awesome. I always love hearing what you guys' favorite things are. That's like, doesn't not directly involve with the game, but still involved with the guys and all that stuff. I think those are the best stories always.
Well, and I would say, you know, I guess I don't have too much to compare it to, but I think hockey guys are the quickest group of people to go and volunteer their time for anybody that asks for anything, because they know if someone's asking, they care about the cause, and yes, we'd love to help. I would say that I never had someone balk at showing up at one of my events either.
Yeah, that's awesome. Do you, you know, we'd definitely like to give you time. If you want to share with everybody, how you can contribute to any of the causes you're involved with or anything like that.
Yeah, the biggest one, and it depends on what state you're in, whether it's Minnesota or Wisconsin or Illinois, has different chapters, but it's the disease is called Huntington's disease, and it's kind of like Lou Gehrig's and a Parkinson's and dementia all in one, you know. It just kind of slowly takes you over time, and unfortunately it took my dad and my brother. I do not have the disease, and so I'm working towards doing right by them and all the other people that have struggled through this. And the main website would be the Huntington's Disease Society of America. And there's lots of research on there. There's lots of information about the disease. And from there, if you'd like to make a donation, we would absolutely love it. And it would directly go to helping families with their care for their sick family members.
That's awesome. Thanks for sharing that info, and we'll make sure we get it out on social media and our website too as well, coming up here. And we'll get some support rolling that way. That'd be sweet.
Appreciate it, guys. Yeah, thank you very much.
Well, thanks for stopping by tonight, Jake, and chatting with us for a little bit. It was good to catch up with you and find out what you're doing, and, you know, see like your dad with like the rest of us now, and yep. Living the dream.
Living the dream.
Going to be a youth hockey coach one day, I'm sure.
Yep. Destined to be.
Not if you can help it. No.
But yeah. Thanks again for stopping by. I really appreciate it. And hope things go well.
Yeah. Thanks, guys. I appreciate it. And thanks for inviting me on the show.
Absolute pleasure, man.